If you would, please turn in your copy of God's Word to Isaiah in the Old Testament and chapter 52 and verse 13. We will hear from God's Word down to the end of chapter 53. Isaiah 52, beginning in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us pray and again ask God's blessing on the preaching of his word today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and we have heard your word today. We readily confess our sin and rejoice in what Christ has accomplished for sinners. We ask, Father, that we would find our refuge in him and in him only. We ask that you would be glorified in the preaching of your word, that we might be hearers of your word and doers also, that your Holy Spirit would work in us, that with eyes of faith we would see your servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, and find our only and sole refuge in him and him alone. In his name we pray. Amen. It's been a fantastic spring. The trees are awake. The grass is growing. At home, we have two large rose bushes next to the house. And last week, they started to blossom as well. It's incredible. It's glorious. It's refreshing. If you have read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, you may be reminded this time of year of the famous prophecy of the coming of the lion, Aslan. Wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. No one in the story knows exactly how the poem will be worked out. No one knows how terrible the winter will be before spring comes. No one knows how dark the night will be on which the lion dies. But all through the story, that poem reminds everyone that death is not the end. As we come to this great poem in the book of Isaiah, we come as those who are unrighteous, sinners, rebels against God's perfect law, His eternal, glorious character and being. We have fully earned the eternal punishment of God upon ourselves. We have earned death. We desperately need someone who can keep the law, take away sin, make us righteous, and defeat death on our behalf. We need help. Desperately. The theme in verses 10 through 12 is that God rewards His servant for His work. God rewards His servant for His work. And so I want to consider this in two parts this morning. What the servant endured and what the servant has earned. Now this is a beautiful poem. It's incredible how the prophet Isaiah has put this together under the work of the Holy Spirit. So in some ways we have to take it apart to see how it works. So there's two strands here, what the servant does and what God rewards him with. And so we're going to pick those strands apart and we're going to move through verses 10 through 12. So most of the points here, most of the points will move from verse 10 down through verse 11 down to verse 12. So I hope you'll follow along with me as we work through this. Why should we seek help then from this servant of the Lord? Why is he the place where only we can find help? We should seek help from the servant of the Lord, first of all, because of what he endured, because of what the servant of the Lord endured. He endured what others could not. He carried sin that was not his own. He made his soul an offering for guilt. He bore iniquity and sin. It was he himself, in his own person, who carried our twisting of God's creation. It was as if he took our sin and our guilt and laid it on his own shoulders and carried it for us. He carried our law breaking. He took away our wrong thoughts, our wrong actions, our wrong feelings. He died a terrible death that he did not deserve. It tells us that he was bruised and put to grief. Bruised here is the idea of crushed. It's the idea of being trampled to death under the feet of other people. He labored. It was hard and difficult work. He poured out his soul to death. He did. It was a willing sacrifice on his part. He not only endured what others could not, but he endured on the behalf of others for their sake. He made his soul an offering for guilt. The Lord looks upon his offering, his sacrifice, and is satisfied as guilt is taken away by the servant of the Lord. He bears their iniquities and their sin. He carries on behalf of others. He was identified with the wrongdoing of others, their thoughts and their feelings. He himself, in his own person, in his body and soul, takes away their sins, their iniquities from them. He made intercession for transgressors. He's his offering of himself, a pouring out, a crushing to death. This was as the go-between, the representative for others, a mediator. His labor was to be this one who works for God and works on the behalf of others. There is no other response that we can have to this work of the servant than to trust him for ourselves. See here the servant, claim no work of our own, and rest only in his perfect work. We have heard what the servant of the Lord endured. Now, secondly, we should seek help from the servant of the Lord because of what he earned. This is where we come to the theme of this day. This is the glorious ground of all our rejoicing. He receives the resurrection. We start in verse 10, where we have this phrase, "The Lord will prolong his days." Now, this should be shocking to us, because prolong his days is used for normal life on earth, and it follows after the servant's death. It's used for that blessing of the old covenant, which was not given to those who were cursed and killed. The servant then receives glorious new life, the favor of God after his death. Death is not the end. Verse 11, he will see and be satisfied with his work. The servant looks on his own work. After he has died for others, he sees his work and he is satisfied. The servant will personally experience the outcome of his work. He will get satisfaction from his sacrifice and his death. This is not the temporary satisfaction that we get from a job done well. We look at our work and it's done well and it fades. The satisfaction goes away. This is not a temporary satisfaction. It is unending, everlasting satisfaction from his work. After he has died, the servant will be satisfied. Again, this is shocking. This is astounding. Death is not the end. He receives not only the resurrection, but he receives a new race, a new people after death. Verse 10 again, see, he will see his offspring, his seed. Not a few, but many. The straying sheep of verse 6 are now the children of the servant. The children of the servant. Verse 11, he will make many righteous. A large number of people. His people. A specific set number of people. His own righteousness is given to them. They are now as pleasing to the Lord as the servant is. As if their work was as good a work as the work of the servant. They have no need of their own works now. They have no need of their own law keeping. They have the work of the servant given to them. He carried their sin, their iniquity, their trespasses. Now they bear his work, his merits, his righteousness. The Lord looks at them as if they had kept the law just as the servant has. verse 12, he will receive a portion of many. Our translation here is a little bit difficult because it's a saying in Hebrew, an idiom. If you've ever stopped and thought about sayings in English, they don't translate well. You have to know the whole saying and what it means to understand what's being said. This saying or this idiom is also used in Job 33 and verse 17 of the ostrich. Excuse me. Where it says, because God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding. So here in Isaiah, we might put it this way. Because of the servant's work, I, the Lord, will give him a share in the many. His share, his portion, his allotment given to the servant is his offspring. They are the possession of the servant of the Lord. So many that they are difficult to count. So many that the servant will look on his offspring, his people, and say, it was worth the work. It was worth being crushed. It was worth the labor. It was worth the sacrifice. It was worth dying for. These are the people, the offspring, the new race of human beings that are given to the servant. Death is not the end. But not only a new race and not only the resurrection, but he also receives the right to rule after his death. Back up to verse 10, we see this strand again. He will carry out the work of the Lord. The servant willingly suffered death. The pleasure, the will of the servant, though, continues in his life after death. It prospers in his hand. Nothing he has set about to do will be left undone. Not one of his children will be left without his own perfect righteousness. All will be saved. All will be delivered. But it's also is carried out in his ruling over the strong. And here we see this in verse 12. These are the great men of the earth, the presidents, the prime ministers, the billionaires. They are what he has won to control for his own will. The servant does with the rulers of the earth as he pleases. They are like nothing before him. They only serve to accomplish his will and his purposes. Death is not the end. Because God rewards the suffering servant, we must seek our help in him. Nothing else can satisfy for what we have done. No one else can overcome death for us. In taking the curse of the breaking of God's law upon himself, the servant has not only taken away punishment and taken away sin, but he receives a glorious, everlasting human life, which he gives to us as well. The servant of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Only he has lived a perfect life. Only he has died an undeserved death. Only he has risen with the same human body, never to die again. Only in him can we find true, everlasting life after death. So this is a day for rejoicing, a day for shouting with joy. Delight in the one who has died in your place if you have trusted in this servant and this servant alone. He has given you the right to be the one who is full of joy as a child of God, and you will have joy forever in the presence of God everlasting. So rejoice. Before Jesus was ever born in Palestine, Isaiah said that God would send a servant. What he said of the servant is true of Jesus Christ. No one has ever lived a life like the servant, only Jesus Christ, and no one ever will. If you're trusting in your ability to think things through, if you're trusting in your ability to do what God says must be done, if you're trusting in your church, if you're trusting that God will just be okay with you, stop. Give up. That way is the way of death, and there is no resurrection from that death. Trust in this one. Trust in the servant of the Lord, and in him you will escape death. It cannot conquer you. In him you will have life, everlasting, without end, and full of joy. Our God is the God of the living. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the perfect servant of the Lord. We thank you that he has come and suffered what we deserved, that we might have and receive from him, simply for trusting in him what he has earned himself, that he might give to us. We thank you, Father, for his righteousness. We thank you for life in him. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection from the dead, that in his resurrection, being united in him by faith alone, we also will enjoy the resurrection from the dead. Father, we long for that day. We look forward to it, and so we ask for your Spirit's work in our hearts, that this week we would rejoice in what Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us, the reward that he has gotten for us. In his name we pray. Amen.